Dong Tu Brass Talks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Hey, morning. This is Miss Adesina.
Yes, please.
So nice to hear you.
How are you doing?
I am great. I'm great. Especially after hearing you on Sunday.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. And good morning to your husband, too.
Okay. I will be sure to let him know that you remembered him specially.
Yes. Anyway, Peter.
He's one of your big fans.
Okay, it's good. Mm. Tell him thanks. Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I want my prime minister,
Miss Bartley,
to give Sandy that big job at the ministry. She has a lot of good ideas. She needs that CEO job.
But how you know that Sandy might not be already working in the ministry?
I don't know. I just put it out there.
Okay.
Anyway.
How do you feel about the ending of the 11 plus?
But Peter, in Ireland and parts of England, they're done away with 11 plus.
Not parts of England, all of England.
Oh, all of England, okay.
So they don't have it in the United States of America. They don't have it in most European countries. Nobody knows about this concept.
Okay, but I want to know, right?
So you support it?
Pardon me?
You support the ending?
In a way, but I will have to see how it will work out.
I know, but it's just, but generally you support the idea of it coming to an end. Because this is good, because you don't really support much that the current administration does. So if you support Santi, you know.
You see, let me put a problem, don't swear me off.
No,
I want to know this 11 plus. I want to know if it's going by a testing system or if it's going by a secondary transfer.
But that's what we have to decide. No, that's what has to be decided. No, but the presumption is that there will not be a testing system that will be the basis of an allocation. That part will end. What they have to decide on is how will they allocate? Will they allocate you based on zones, or will they allocate you based on some other criteria?
But
you see, the zoning thing can be problematic, because let's say if you create a zone, the obvious challenge that you're going to create is Harrison College. Because if you create a zone of Harrison College, then you will essentially have the opposite problem to what you currently have based on the catchment for Harrison College. So the idea is that you want to have a creative zone that allows for a mix of socioeconomic status, which ultimately will mean a mix of ability. Because you don't want to create an environment in which the learning becomes more challenging than it already is.
But Peter, that kind of sound confusing. That way, I agree with a lot what Sandy said. But I mean, like, after doing with the zoning, you mean that true that in in St. Michael, they will go to Harrison College and
I understand the concern, and let me try to break it down for you in very simple terms. You know, in the United States of America, they have something called busing. Have you ever heard of the concept of busing? Basically, busing is when you take children from in a city, lower socioeconomic bracket, and you bus them to schools in areas where there is a wealthier zone, and the schools are, as a result, better. What you do by that is essentially it's a social program where you take essentially poor kids and you mix them with rich kids, and it means that their educational opportunities automatically increase. It's a technical thing, but ultimately what we need to do is we need to have something that is similar to the whole busing scheme, where we ensure that every school has a broad mix of socioeconomic status based on the catchment that person comes from.
So these rich kids, not kids, children, right. The kids, because they're not goaties. Anyhow, they will be going to Princess Margaret and St. John's Secondary
School. That's the idea, yes. That's the idea. That in every school, you have a mix of abilities, and there's a direct correlation between ability and socioeconomic status in education. That's one of the realities of education.
Oh, but Peter, let me tell you though, you know that you always passing about foundation.
Of course, yeah, because it's the best school.
Foundation. All the children that went to those schools, all of them came out bright, all of them came out with a certificate, a lot of them came out with a certificate.
What?
So I went in there, but none of them came out with no certificate.
But the problem is not really the school that you go to. The challenge that we are having is that we have a system that essentially hives off children, gives 20% of them the best education possible, and 80% of them essentially get condemned. I am not saying, and I mean, Ms. Andy said that you shouldn't take a lot of the stuff I say about foundation literally. I mean, I love the school. But, I mean, if we're going to speak practically, it really matters little which school you go to. And the more important point is that once you get to that education institution, there should be an opportunity for you to learn. And the challenge is that some schools carry a stigma that makes it difficult to learn. And it is exacerbated by the fact that you take children who have learning challenges and you put them together in large numbers in some secondary schools. So you create an environment that's unmanageable.
Okay, but I will wait here and see what Mr. Bradshaw, what system she put it in place before you're going to say.
And I think it's progress, because I have never heard you speak sympathetically to any initiative that this government has pursued.
But
and the fact that you could possibly like Santia.
I want Sandy to put in that big job there, CEO. Because she got good.
That one I know about. I don't even know if Sandy interested in. Oh, you know Sandy interested in anything, sir?
Take it from me, she will be interested. She's good. She's good at what
she's doing. She's good at what she does, it's true.
Yeah,
and then Mr. Eiffel is good at what he does as well.
So I want her in that big position.
Okay. I didn't even know there was a big position being created.
I want the Prime Minister to put her in there.
Okay. Prime Minister estimates. So she won't be listening.
Somebody will give her the message.
Okay. I decided to want to see Sandy in there.
Yes. Okay. You have a good day.
Fair enough. Thank you very much. I decided it's good to hear from you, and I will pass on your regards. Okay, she knows where the statistics back on reclaims or who in society has decided who will they decide to go to QCRC. Like, you know. Anyhow, let's read that another time, because this person is trying to take pot shots at my friend is undecided. Donor Brass Stocks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Yeah, morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, you know.
Good.
So I really want to rein in on a particular matter, but I must first strengthen your program concerning this 11 plus issue before we go to my real point. And it's going to be very fast, quick, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned Harrison's College, the zoning aspect of it would be difficult. Tell me, explain that to me.
I wouldn't say it would be difficult. I said it would create a problem.
Why?
Where is Harrison College located?
In the city.
Right. So who would be going to Harrison College?
Peter, they have a lot of surrounding districts within the city area that those children could transform to Harrison's College. Oh. You have people like...
I'm trying to be sensitive. It's a sensitive issue. And I know that people often say the way I speak is a bit loose. But you appreciate the problem I'm trying to avoid?
No, explain to me then. The problem I'm trying to avoid.
No, but I think that you understand the problem I'm trying to avoid. If it is that you have a direct relationship between socioeconomic status and educational performance. And I'm not saying that this is something that you want. I'm saying that this is a reality, okay? And you take several communities that are lower socioeconomic communities and you send all of their children to one school, you're going to create a problem. If it is that you're trying to get a mix of abilities and a mix of students, one of the worst ways of doing that is to zone everyone from a particular area that is known to be a proliferation of low socioeconomic groups into one single school.
So you are saying to me then that they are not outstanding children that live...
It's not outstanding and not outstanding, sir. Let me don't go that road, because you know that I that's elitist language. I don't have any time for.
Exactly. That's where it comes into, Peter.
Right.
Because, listen, I believe, you know, was the Minister of Bradshaw going to... she going to get a hurdle as far as this program is concerned.
Oh.
We just say elitist people that you speak
but
about.
But don't worry, we
because
can deal with them.
Some of these same people, Peter, who come through the Harrisons and Queen's College and Common Bear.
And Foundation.
They're going to create a stumbling block for the minister.
But you fight with them. The minister is a strong woman. She would deal with them. But I'm saying that it's important that people like you understand the realities that we have to deal with. And I'm saying that...
I know, Peter, I support it. I'm full support.
So what's the concern with Harrison College and the catchment?
It's because, listen, I would prefer... I saw a model at St. Leonard's where the late Dayton Griffin, who was a principal at a school at St. Leonard's, and it worked absolutely tremendous. It was outstanding.
What was the model?
When I get to these sessions, because I plan to go, I'm going to make an input. But I'm going to be very short on this particular part, though. We had at St. Leonard's a whole set of children from different backgrounds. And at that school, we had lots of outstanding children and some who were not too outstanding. And as they come from, graduate from class to class, Peter, there was a time when the same Dayton Griffith, the late Dayton Griffith, the ones who was really, really progressing. And there was placed in a particular classroom. And he, of his own self, as the principal of the school, he used to take charge of that particular classroom. And at the end of the day, Peter, there are lots of those children who came through that process here, that whole outstanding jobs in Barbados.
I think that you missed the point. And I think, unfortunately, in Barbados, we have been too happy for a long time with a system in which you say, you have a school with 1,000 children. If you can get 50 of them performing well, let me just teach them. And I'm glad about that. And, you know.
No, that's not what
I'm saying. Dayton Griffith had good intentions, and I don't doubt that his intentions were noble and that the successes he had were significant. Sir, this is my concern, right? The current problem that you have at some of the newer secondary schools is that you have an education, you have an environment that is created at those schools, because pretty much everyone who goes to those schools has gotten below a certain grade in 11 plus. So you basically have several people that have educational challenges. You foist a sophisticated curriculum on them that relates to somebody who is differently inclined. And then you have confusion. And teachers who teach in those schools tell you that a big part of their challenge is actually getting somebody to pay attention.
No, but Peter,
and I'm saying that the last thing you would want is to create a situation where you take all of those children and move them from one of those secondary schools into Harrison College. Because then Harrison College will become the same environment that those other schools are. And the idea is we want to create a system where we have a mix of students and a mix of abilities across the board. I can't put it any more delicately than that.
Right, but that's why I'm against putting all these children in Harrison's College. That's all the way up.
I said to you that it's something that can be done creatively. In the same way that you can have busing in the United States, in some places, we can have a creative zone that essentially ensures that all of our school students, all of our schools, will have a mix of abilities and a mix of socioeconomic status.
But I'm not against what you're saying, Peter.
Right.
So
but it wasn't an argument. You put something on the table, and I put a response to it. And I said that I know that a big part of the concern is that you would say you don't want to, and I mean the popular word is you don't want to getaways secondary school. Right? So you're saying you don't want to take one of the older secondary schools and getaways it.
Correct.
And that's the crass language that is used in that regard. And I do agree that that is not something you would want to do because it defeats the whole purpose. Right, so what you basically do is you create that mix of having students from different socioeconomic status, from different areas, and you will bring them together under a particular umbrella. But then there will be some considerations. And I think one of them is that no child should have to take 2 buses to go to school. That's something that I have always felt strongly about.
Correct.
I did it. I took 2 buses to go to school at Foundation, right? I left Foundation in St. Michael and I used to go to Christchurch. It was easier in those days because it had a big set of traffic on the road and I used to get a lift in town most days. The challenge, however, now is that a child who leaves where I live and goes to Foundation has to leave home just before 6 in the morning, and it's not fair. I never even used to be waking up at 6 in the morning. And I used to get to school at 8:40.
But Peter, I really support the idea. And to be honest with you, for a long time I was saying that we had to come to some decision concerning the schools and the way they are situated, and especially with the zoning aspect of it. And if you look, Peter, at the youngsters now there who are there now on the blocks, Peter, some of these are some of the same children who were disenfranchised because of the system at the school. They were just left hanging, and after the end of the term, they just sent them out to school, and that's why we got so much violence on the block. A lot of those violence could be productive, but they just were just players will drop out. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got the problem now.
Give them something to do that they're interested in, and you watch the difference.
Right, exactly.
A lot of what the same Blayton Griffith did at St. Leonard's was to introduce children to languages.
Correct.
Right. And it made a difference simply because a lot of them were, it was something that they were actually interested in doing, mm-hmm. You know?
And a lot of them hold out signing jobs even up to now.
Well, there you go.
But let me go to my real point, Peter.
Go ahead, sir.
I listened to your program, Sandy. I'm not fighting listening to the morning broadcast. And one told me about it, and he decided to listen to the repeat Sunday night.
Okay.
Did you, Peter, recognize the amount of times that you were asked by Adriel Baffert to give him a second chance to come back on the program? You count the times?
You think it's a good idea?
I lost track at 4. No less than 4 times he asked for that permission.
Because he wants to talk about the Barbados Labour Party shortcomings.
No, he said he wants to talk about the Democrat Labour Party.
No. He wants to come back. He wants to come back and talk about the BLP shortcomings. He's saying that's something that we need to discuss as well.
But even so, I once said this to you, Peter. I was more than shocked to hear that Adriel Baffert attend that program on Sunday. Because of the same Adriel Baffert and the others from the Democrat Labour Party who was trying to get on this program, on the program for a long, long time, and they just refused to come. Mm-hmm. And I find that Parsons trains know that he would want to come and want a second chance or a third chance now to come to report to this country or even say anything about this present government. You know, I was more than surprised. Mm-hmm. And the whole story, the whole thing about it, all I was hearing is a sense of arrogance coming from Adriel Baffert, and to crop it off, then you had Steve Blackett. When he came on the program and tell you that if they continue to apologize, they will never start apologizing. I mean, that was more than arrogance coming from Steve Blackett. And I was more than disappointed in that sort of behavior coming from them. Because up to now, they don't seem to understand, like people of Barbados, that is the reason why they was dumped by the people of this country.
And you know what, sir? That's one of the things I liked about that program on Sunday, is that it gave us the opportunity to hear the Democratic Labour Party speak to an issue. The concept was mine. I feel that it is important for the people to hear whether or not the Democratic Labour Party think they did something wrong, because ultimately I feel that their road back to governance in this country will have a lot to do with their appreciation of their shortcomings. And the sooner that they appreciate it, the better. If it is that you give the Democratic Labour Party the opportunity to deal with their shortcomings and they refuse to deal with their shortcomings, then they will be dealt with at the polls again.
Yeah, because
and that's the position I take. And all of these clowns online attacking me or whatnot for the way that I handle the program and this and that. And my thing is, like, you give the DLP the opportunity to deal with their issues. If the DLP refuses to deal with the issues, then you know what? That's the way that politics goes. They will be dealt with effectively in the next campaign.
Right, and Peter, my last...
So Steve Blackett will never get it. Because if Steve Blackett still has not understood that a part of the problem is the way that he spoke on that night, that fateful night out by the stadium.
Correct.
If he doesn't understand that now, if he doesn't feel that he needs to apologize and show some level of contrition for the way that he behaved, not only then, but as a minister for the previous 10 years, if Steve Blackett don't get it, then he never will. Let him continue smartly.
And you know, Peter, even the same Steve Blackett, he just don't know which faction to go for in the Democrat Labour Party, you know, because he's between all three. He just don't know which one to settle with.
But that's why I feel bad for people like Ryan and Simon, because these guys had their time before. These guys are now trying to make a statement and an impact on politics, and it's going to be extremely difficult. Right?
But I will close by saying this to Simon. Mm-hmm. I would like to tell Simon, if he have any sort of idea, if he thinking seriously about a political future, my advice to him is to stay very far from the old guard, the former Democratic Party government.
Sound advice.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling, sir. My understanding is that today we don't have a regional roundup because we have Carnival in Trinidad and Tobago. So we continue with more calls. Right. We continue until 12 o'clock, and I think we have a news brief of some sort. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good Good morning. It's going to 12 minutes. Peter Rawl here.
Yeah, you got 2 minutes. Morning, Rawl. How are you doing?
Hey, yeah, I'm good.
Sorry that I wasn't able to speak to you yesterday.
It's okay. All right. My take on the education is, I've said it earlier with Cassie in a brief here. So, my take is continuous assessment. That gives everybody a clear chance to be assessed. And all it would take now is some vigilance. It will cause teachers to work a little harder, but it's going to be the best method in that you know what each pupil is capable of, and you don't lump them all up, not high and low and everything I'm going to say. So the assessment would be, I think it would be in an individual sense, and you would know the acumen of each child, and you would see where a child is leaning, academic, or you're into sports, you're into good with your hand, this, that, that. The continuous assessment would be the best way going forward for me. I've said, the teachers will have to be a little more vigilant and they will have to work a little harder, but it's all in your day's work. Mm-hmm. Number two.
Huh? Yeah, go ahead.
Now, question to you. A simple question. And this is the solution, you know, but nobody ever want to touch it. The bus and all the fanfare and the music and this. Question to you direct. A commuter on the transport board bus not having any access to radio or music on it, mm-hmm. Are there any worse off?
Yeah. Okay. Just take a pin. We're going to go to the news and we come right back to you and I'll give you the response when I come back. Just take a pin, Rob. We'll be right back. Down to brass tacks. Are you still there, Rob?
I'm still here.
Right. Okay. So you wanted to make a point. You said I let you make open remarks and you were asking.
The question was if the commuters on the transport board buses are any worse off not having any access to music or radio or whatever, are they any worse off?
But clearly not. One could argue that they're better off.
Good. Two, if I get on a bus today and say, want to play my radio, don't matter, I'm playing oldies, country music or whatever, and I'm told to turn it off and I don't, and it has to be a court matter, what could be the ruling? I have to, you're operating on two premises here. What would the law say? You can't have two laws. You gotta be
that I'm not sure of.
No, what I'm trying to establish unilaterally, you have to have one or the other. But you're in between. If you see the point I'm making, because you have some.
I don't think it's in between. I think that there are two things. One is this concept of public nuisance. And then I think the other thing is that the transport authority has to be in a position to discipline drivers who expose people in on public transport, public service vehicles to offensive lyrics and that kind of
thing. No, but you're going with the offensive. I'm saying that there's a sticker in the buses, no radio, no eating, no something. Mm-hmm. Stop, and all the transport board buses. That's all I'm saying. You're going to the extent of lewd this and all that. I'm only saying it is against the law to have music on the transport board bus. That's the law. Right. They understand it. Mm-hmm. The sticker be saying that, isn't it? So that's what I'm saying, that you're operating on a premise of one has music and the other don't. You think you get this of what I'm trying to establish?
No, but you just tell me in certain clear terms.
I just tell you that you function on the two premise. Which is which?
So you're saying the solution is to ban music from private ones as well?
Across the board or allow all to have music. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, either or. You think you understand me?
You remember there was a famous court case in which...
I remember that.
Right. And I think on principle, there's nothing wrong with a minibus having access to news and information. You know?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it playing my thing on radio to have news and information either. That's all I'm saying, too.
I know there was a time that I enjoyed music on a minibus. I went to school in the 80s and I would have caught vans to go in town, you know, for foundation, and I enjoyed music in those days. But I also remember that those were the days when you used to walk around with a big stereo on your shoulder and that was the basis of entertainment.
Okay.
I find that we are now into an iPod generation that is a lot more private. And, you know, one of the things I like about an airplane is that I am not forced to listen to what everyone else is listening to, you know. And that's something I think that we need to get to on public transport. You should not force one type of music on me. If everyone wants to listen to something individually, then they should have that right.
All I'm saying, back to my... premise and my start point is that the commuters on transport board, they're no worse off. And that is the issue there. That's really solution lie. Honestly, that's it. Until you get there, you're going to have you spinning your top, skidding on the side all the time. You can't get back on track. You're skidding in the mud, but you can't get back on track. That's it.
Okay.
Now, next question is...
No, but we ain't got any more questions. This really is 40 minutes past 12, and I am told by the producer that we're coming out at 1.
I will give you a little comment on the politics. Don't worry.
But let me do the politics next week or week after. Yeah. All right. Take care. Thanks for calling. Donna Brastocks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Peter?
Hey, good afternoon, ma'am.
Hi, how are you doing?
Not too bad. And yourself?
I am blessed.
Mm-hmm. It's good that you're blessed. Hopefully you'll bless me too.
I commend Ms. Sanchia for what she did, or what she's about to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this thing should have been done with long time ago. I remember my daughter is what? She's been 32 this year or 31. This thing was being discussed when she was an infant. It could be before that. But I can remember this specifically clear. And I think that a lot of children who do not have that academic, what should I say?
Inclination. Right.
Inclination have been disadvantaged over the years because of the 11 plus. And I don't think that's right. God has blessed us in different ways. And he doesn't bless every one of us academically, early, as in 11. Some children pick up later, and some children are blessed with different gifts and talents.
Mm.
And I think our schools have been doing an injustice to those children a long time. And that's why a lot of children come out of school. In fact, they have children as small as 6 don't want to go to school. They don't like the system of the school. It's about a teacher sitting in front of a class, teaching. If you don't get it at a particular time, the teacher gets fed up. Say, you should know better, you should learn, and it's time enough that you know this. And children are being pressured, and they are also being victimized and humiliated because of the way our system is set up. And I've seen it over the years, and I think it's unfair. Because children are children, and the way God blesses us is different from how others are being blessed. And our system should come to par in that a long time ago, and I applaud Miss Bradshaw. And I also applaud her, too, because I like her, because she's humble. I mean, this is not the party that I have voted for, but I am not biased. I think that when someone is doing a good work, they should be applauded, and you should let them know. And from the time
I'm so happy that you said that.
No, from the time I saw and I heard her on radio, I told my husband, I like her. I like the way that she's going. I like that she cares for the children, and I like what she's trying to do. And I like that when anything happens, she's there and she's ready to give sympathy and empathy, and I like that. Mm. And I think that it is fair that we give due where due is to be given.
Okay.
You understand? So I applaud her for what she's trying to do, and I hope it becomes successful, because it's happening in America, in England, and it's happening in Canada, and it seems to be working. I don't know why. I suppose it can work here, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, you just have to let it.
They just don't like change, you know.
Mm.
We have a problem with change. So when things come around and we have to change, we all talk. But people have, that's people's rights to talk and say they don't understand. But as time goes on and it progresses, we will see it will smoothen out. Just give it a chance to smoothen out, and I believe that it would smoothen out, and children would come along, I think, better because of the system. I want to ask you something.
No, I just wanted to say, ma'am, that I'm happy that you indicated that your political allegiance is elsewhere. This 11 plus thing is something that I think has no political allegiance, and excuse me, it's not a BRD issue. And I am anxious for it to be dealt with in the way that you have dealt with, where we say, look, it's about the welfare of our children in the future.
Yeah.
And it's neither B nor D. If you want to vote against the Barbados Labour Party, you can do so for different reasons. But at least let's acknowledge that this is a national issue that we are trying to address, and we need to do it without reflection of fear or favour. But you were saying there was something else?
I want to ask you a question. You are vegan, right?
I am. No, I'm vegetarian, not vegan.
Oh, you're vegetarian.
I eat fish, yeah.
What made you make that choice?
Because I like animals. Well, to start with, I became a vegetarian when I moved to Trinidad, and I lived with two Rastafarians.
Right.
Who were transitioning to the Rastafari and had abandoned me, and I always thought it would be a nice thing to do. But fundamentally, I am opposed to killing, slaughtering animals. I think that animals are our friends, and you shouldn't eat your friends. They're friends, not food.
I understand what you're trying to say.
I would love to be vegan, but it's a process that I am struggling to get to.
So how long you have been a vegetarian?
Since 1995.
Wow. Yeah. But you can do it, though. You can do it.
I
am trying.
Definitely. Oh, you're trying, okay.
Yeah, I hardly do eat chicken. I don't eat red meat, so anything. I'm really strictly fish. I don't buy chicken at my house. But sometimes, occasionally, I might eat peas, but I don't buy it, so I don't cook it. You believe in our jurisdiction or judiciary system?
I believe in it to some extent, yeah.
You think it's fair how it's set up, where it has a judge, it has lawyers, and it has jury, and that whole systematic thing, how it works?
It depends, though, ma'am. I mean, there's some aspects of it that I think are unfair, and then there are some very fair aspects of it. The Americans have something called a grand jury, which is where they will offer evidence to a group and let them determine whether or not a charge should be brought. we rely on the director of public prosecutions to initiate. Excuse me. So there are some bases on which I think that our system could be improved. But I do feel that it's by and large, especially when you deal with serious criminal matters, it's by and large a fair system.
And you know where that system came from?
What, the United Kingdom?
No.
But what?
It came from the Bible.
Really? Where you get
really,
that from?
Peter, it's in the Word. It came from the Bible.
I was wondering where we were going to get to this.
But it did. I'm going to show you one of these days where it came from.
Well, you had to show me, and I suspect it would be a long conversation.
Because
my understanding of biblical justice is that right and wrong is decided by God.
It's true.
In my understanding of it, the laws which are adjudicated by the state have, in many instances, nothing to do with God's law.
It's true. I'm just talking about how the system is set up. I'm not talking about what they do while they're there.
But draw the analogy for me quickly, though, because I'm not understanding the relationship.
Because God is our judge. God is our judge. And we have the lawyers which represent Jesus beckoning on our behalf.
Really?
Really. And then we have
that's
the
a stretch, though.
Pardon?
Because the judges ultimately don't determine right or wrong. The judges determine what sentence you should face.
But
whether you have done something and it is wrong or right, you are judged by your peers. You're not judged by a judge.
It's true, but I'm gonna break it down for you one of these days. But you know what I like about you? You know what I like about you? You stand on what you believe. You're not a hypocrite. Even if it's wrong, you stand on what you believe until you get clarification.
But it don't be wrong. Most of the time.
What do you mean you don't be wrong? All of us is be wrong at some time, Peter. And I like that about you. I like the way you stand on what you believe until you get clarification.
When I get to the pearly gates, if I'm wrong, then I will hear at that point. Of course, by then it would be too late.
I'm not saying that you're wrong in what you're doing. I am saying I like the way you are. You are not a hypocrite. You
try
stand
not to be.
On what you believe. Yeah. You understand? And I like that about you. Okay. I do. So I listen to you regularly, you know, but that's what I said I would tell you. And I applaud Miss Anshia for what she's doing, and I hope it works out best for all of our children in our country.
All right.
Thank you very
much, ma'am. And I am sorry if I knew we were going to get biblical. We could have talked about the Bible and pork, since that's one of my favorite issues. But you promise you're going to call me back, and we will talk some more in the future, and then maybe we can get into that whole side of it, the idea of biblical eating and taking care of your body, which is supposed to be God's temple. So next conversation, we'll chat about that. Okay, down to brass tacks. We have 23 minutes past the hour of 12. We go until 1 o'clock, so I want to see if I can get as many contributions in. I have a whole lot of WhatsApp messages, but I'm going to give priority to the calls at this stage. Go right ahead, please. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay, you're listening to me?
I am, yes.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Peter. I can't remember your surname.
Wickham. It's all right. Peter is fine.
Wickham,
Peter
yes,
is fine,
yes. What, Mr. Peter, I would like to share three things to you. Starting one, explain to me how today become Trinidad, Tuesday in Trinidad. I mean, Carnival. Tuesday.
Is it day before Ash Wednesday?
The day before Ash Wednesday,
yeah.
Oh, so Lent can start yet? Yeah.
Lent starts tomorrow.
Legend has it
that the church allows a certain freeing up before Lent. So the freeing up should end at midnight tonight. And it's at that point that you prepare to take ashes the next day. And Lent begins
yes,
from tomorrow.
Yes, I understand. That's when I used it to be in the Anglican church. You see, by sense,
you never used to play Mass?
Beg pardon?
You never used to play Mass?
No, I don't like Mass. I don't play Mass. No, I used to live in Trinidad, and I know they never had a Tuesday Trinidad unless a Tuesday Carnival.
No, they always had a Tuesday Carnival, man.
Beg pardon?
They always had a Tuesday Carnival.
Yeah,
because
Ash
Wednesday is always a Wednesday. Sorry?
The Tuesday used it to be the ending of the carnival. That was to be the last day.
Right, but the last lap is at 11 o'clock, but midnight is when it all ends.
Ma'am,
that has always been the case. Because the Tuesday was always the big day. The Monday was a milder day. You have Juve for what we call 4-day morning. That normally is Sunday night into Monday morning.
Yes, I know all of that. But I know the last of Carnival when ending now.
It's always Tuesday.
There will be Carnival Monday and Tuesday.
Right.
And that is the ending and really big bands and everything. Precisely. I used to live in Trinidad.
So that's always been a Tuesday.
Oh, I can't remember.
And it always ends at midnight. And then, of course, Wednesday will be ashes. So you used to take ashes on Wednesday, but you wouldn't go to the party on Tuesday.
When I was in Trinidad, I mostly followed the Baptist thing.
Okay, so you never did the Catholic ashes thing?
Yes. Second thing is, I've got ashes here too. The second thing to you is, I heard you say earlier on that you would go, you don't play Mass now, but if next year,
I will go.
But you must say, if it be the will of the Lord, and don't plan like that. If it's not good, you may die. You see?
But if I die, I can't go?
No, don't think about that. You want to live.
I know, but I would like to live. But if I say that if I live, I will go. But if I die, I can't go.
Or if the Lord, you know, anything like that.
Yeah, but you realize my challenge there, right?
Returning, yes, I know.
Right.
Returning, no.
Yeah.
I would like to just some people to sit down and teach America law. The things that doing and that happening in America hurts my heart and makes me feel real uncomfortable and things. After a man live all of his life, work hard and everything, and now I know what old age is, because I am 83 that's speaking to you now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get old age can be such a miserable thing. And you gotta go to prison because of you don't understand your own country you live in, how wicked people can be.
Who are you talking about, ma'am?
I mean in America.
I know, but who specifically? You mean Weinberg?
The laws of, yes, the laws with all of them and a lot of them that went through. I just sit down and watch the TV on the day.
But ma'am, that man, he raped and molested women?
But you kept mixing how long?
But there's statute of limitations on it.
You think that could happen here in Barbados?
But the sad part is that it probably would have, which is unfortunate, because I believe a person who does the things that he did should face justice at some point.
Well, if they could have faced judges, and you must also believe that people just come and put a lot of things, wrong things on people, and cause people to suffer. And the wicked ways.
Ma'am, I will have to take that one with a pinch of salt, because from the evidence that I heard, this guy did some pretty bad things, and he used his power to essentially put women in some very uncomfortable positions. And there was a time when we turned a blind eye to that, but you know, we have him and now we have Cosby, and I think that in both instances it has been demonstrated that the public has a limited appetite for that type of stuff. No, and I think that that's a good thing. I think it's progress. And I hope that in Barbados we can get to the stage where men are not able to use the power in that way. So, Mama, it was an interesting conversation with you. You're 82 years old, and I'm sorry that you never did carnival. Maybe you and I can make a date for next year. Who knows? Mom, thank you so much for calling, and I want to wish you all the best for the Lenten season, as you are an observer. We take a break at this point, and we go to the latest news, and we'll be back with you in about 10 minutes. Do stay with us. Well, good afternoon, and welcome back to Down the Brass Tacks. Remember, the call number is 434-1790. The 12 time is now 1244. We continue until 1 o'clock, which means we have 15 minutes. The board is full, and I'm hoping that I can get as many of the people in as possible. I need to read this WhatsApp message to you. It's the last one I'll take today, but it was very touching. The gentleman says, Peter, I'm 65 years of age and could not be happier to hear that the 11 plus is being abolished. In my time, it was called the screening test, and by that name alone, it would tell you what the purpose of the test was all about. Peter, as a boy between 5 and 8, I attended 4 different schools because I just wasn't learning the way they would have expected me to. During that time, I was flogged, hit across the knuckles, had my ears twisted because I just couldn't understand, write, spell, or speak, or write letters backwards. In short, I was a dunce. School was a place to be beaten, and I looked forward to lunchtime when all school was to me. I was drilled for the screening test by my aunt, who was also a school teacher and surprisingly passed for Harrison College. But you know what? The learning problem started as soon as I entered the gates. I was made sport of, laughed at, because I just couldn't cope. My savior was a teacher by the name of Val Bowen. He placed me in a technical class where I found my ground and excelled, going on to pass my City and Guilds O levels at grade A. Peter, I later found out at the age of 18 what I was suffering from, and it was dyslexia, something I was laughed at for, beaten, and was called an idiot in the family. I've done okay for myself in life, but I work really hard to cover over some of the scars and insecurities of formative years. Hopefully some children will not now have to suffer those formative years like I did. And I wish Miss Santia Bradshaw well in her efforts to end the 11 plus. And I read that because there was so much of that story that reflected my own personal experience in life. And for that reason, even though I didn't go to Harrison College, for that reason, I think it is important that people understand the reality. And this is the reality for the majority and not necessarily the minority that seem to do well in the system. I've received lots of emails and lots of WhatsApp messages, and unfortunately, I can't read all of them today, with people telling different stories and presenting different sides. And this is a debate that will continue for some time, so we will have the opportunity to ventilate views and opinions as we go forward. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Good afternoon, you're on the air. Go right ahead, please. Good afternoon, you're on the air. Go right ahead with your comment. 434-1790 is the number that you can call. I'm seeing like 4 calls here, but unfortunately no one is speaking to me. So let's see.
Hello. Again.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
I am fine for now. How are you keeping?
I'm great. I am blessed.
I saw that I get in. This is my first time getting in here with you.
Okay. Well, good to hear you.
I'm glad I get in because you're all on the topic return is concerned.
Okay.
And that is my favorite topic.
Excellent.
Return is concerned. Now, I want to speak about, not education, I want to speak about their social and their health. Okay?
Sure.
Now, they have children that you're talking about sexual harassment, right? But they have children that be sexually abused by loved ones. Well, it's not loved ones because they're abusing them, but like close relatives, father, uncle, brother. Okay? And there's nothing have been doing about it, right? I'm not quite certain, but I think that they have a lot of children out there that having people interfering with them, but they just keep it because they've been threatened by the same individuals that if they tell the parents or if they tell someone, they would be taken away, and they would be going to the they would have to go in a home, and all of these things.
So I want to know why they don't have, like, someone come on the air and speak about this and let the children know where what is not touchable, where is appropriate for them to be touched, who's supposed to be touching them on the breast, on the seat, and all of that. Because these people just tell the children, like, for instance, fathers tell the kids, well, look, I'm the only body supposed to be touching you certain place, nobody else. Right? And this starts, like, from 3 years, around 3 years, right? And it go right up till it's 16. I know, for instance, there was an incident in my country that I came from. And the stepfather was molesting this little girl from since she was 3. And when she gets 16 years old, she starts to chat back with him and give him words. And then when she comes from school, if she go to school and she come home late, he would quarrel and cry on. And he was married to her mother. And, you know, he ended up killing her. At 16 years, he killed her because she started to curse him and tell him, well, I'm old enough now and you can't do that to me that you used to do when I was 4 and 5. And the mother was shocked because the mother said she keep asking her the stepfather's trouble her. And she said no. But she was afraid to tell her. So he ended up giving her 15 stab wounds. You understand? And this thing is just bothering me because I know for a fact that they got children out there that be molested by their own and they can't say nothing. And I don't know what part child care parent is, but I don't know.
Your comments are important. The UNICEF Caribbean, OECS and Caribbean office has been engaged in a program to deal with exactly this problem of child sex abuse, where it has been using various media to tell children exactly that, you know, what is a good touch and what is a bad touch.
Yeah.
And they have been supporting a program across this region to let children become aware of instances in which they are being touched inappropriately and what they exactly are supposed to do under those circumstances. So it's not fair to say that it's not being done by anyone. I would agree with you, ma'am, that the program has perhaps been more limited because resources are such that, you know, it is difficult to get to everyone using every media. But it is an important program, and I would be first to say that, you know, it is something which is ongoing. And this is new information in the sense that people don't really have, historically in the Caribbean, we have not really dealt with these kinds of controversial issues, but I think that we've started to deal with it now. And they've already had some significant success regarding people, you know, knowing when it's good and bad and whatnot.
Yeah. Okay, right. I'm glad to hear I'm very concerned with that.
Okay. Ma'am, thank you so much for calling. We're going to move quickly to some of the other calls because we still have about 4 of them on the line. I'm going to say good afternoon and welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, Peter. How are you doing, man?
Not too bad. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, this is Fish Game, man. I talked to you last
time. Hey, how you going? Things
again,
looking up?
Listen to me, Mora. Listen to me, man. You see, after we had that conversation, I don't know if I complain on the schedule, but that very day, they paved the road. Like,
okay.
Like thing.
Good,
people were
good.
Calling me, telling me, Rasta man, they're paving the road. I said, yeah. So when they come out, no, I figure it has something to do with the conversation because I see these fellas over in the corner by the parking lot over there, standing up, pointing at me and talking and pointing at me. So I was like, whatever. When I'm doing a job, I call and talk, but when I ain't care. You know
well,
I mean?
I'm happy to hear that radio works. And I'm also happy to hear that your business is booming. My only regret is that you didn't take my advice and do some, you know, healthy stuff.
Who said I didn't take your advice?
Oh, so you have started to diversify the menu?
Listen, I started back light, right?
Mm-hmm.
I started back selling the Annie natural juices because my aunt, she would make natural juices and stuff like that, right?
Good choice.
And I said, I can't wait to talk to Peter Bacon because my aunt would bring me natural juices every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sell a case and a half of drinks a day and still don't sell all of my natural juices. And then people ask, you got to drink. I push the natural juices first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I showed them the natural juices and let them know, listen, they make at home and, you know, these in this, and you know, this in Jubilee.
Okay.
That kind of stuff, you know, you let them know, you inform them. But I still talking. I still got a link up my boy Chef Craig about some other things I want to put on the menu. But yeah, my radio work.
Okay.
And people think that radio don't work. It does work. And
I'm happy.
People even pass on here. Tell me. Listen. Don't say to Peter Wickham about the DLP. Don't get excellent. Listen. I don't think that Peter Wickham was being agent provocatory.
I think
that he was very informative. Right. I think the conversation was good. Right.
It had more though to do, from what I understand, it had more though to do with the Barbados Water Authority. Apparently, in many instances, the Water Authority has been holding up progress on a number of roads. Not because the BWA wants to, but because they have resource challenges in terms of being able to fix a number of the roads that has to be fixed. There are some roads where I have seen they're earmarked for repaving. You're seeing these orange marks around the areas that the Water Authority has to deal with. So, I guess, you know, impatient, but in your instance, it worked out well because it seemed as though
of course
came
it worked
together
out.
Very quickly.
It so. Worked out nice. I mean, I walk in on the road and the road is freshly painted.
It's nice.
It felt so good. It's just like I had on a brand new pair of sneakers.
All right. So, happy to hear some good news, but we're going to run though because I want to take the last two calls and we are on 54 minutes past 12. So, hopefully we can chat again soon and you can tell me about the diversity of the menu that you're offering in the new and improved surroundings in Carnival Rock. So that's the fish cake, man. Good to hear from you again and good to hear that the issue has been resolved. 55 past the hour of 12. Good afternoon and welcome.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. Look, I just wanted to, I've heard a discussion on this 11 plus. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted, England was brought into the discussion. In England, there may not be an 11 plus, but there is still a lot of selection, you know. And so much so that this is a political divide where the conservatives would like to bring back grammar schools and the socialists would bring the other schools. You know,
right. We have limited time, so I wanted to ask you to cut to the chase and tell me what would you recommend for Barbados based on your
experience? Barbados?
Yeah.
I think you should still have the opportunity for bright children to go to schools where they have similar peers. I don't believe that what I'm hearing will be good for the very clever kids.
Do you think that it is important for a clever kid to be in an entire school with 1,000 other clever kids in order for that kid to remain clever? And do you think that that is worth pursuing at the expense of 80% of persons who take the 11 plus exam that are not classified as clever?
Anybody. I didn't go to a clever school. It didn't stop me from getting on. It's about whether...
No, but I just wanted to ask you the question. Can you answer the question specifically that I asked?
That question is loaded, right?
But of course, because the issue is loaded, sir. You can't unload the issue. It's a loaded issue.
Well, we don't answer loaded questions.
But you can disaggregate it, and I'm saying that you have to answer. So if your concern is with the clever kids, do you think that the clever kids need to be in a school with 1,000 other clever kids to remain clever? And the second question I would ask you is if you think that the 20% of clever kids, they are worthy of not being sacrificed for the 80% of students who are not classified as clever.
They should be given an opportunity to do their best, perform at their best wherever they are.
And are they not?
I know that.
If a clever kid goes to a school with kids who are not clever, you think that child is damaged irreparably?
No, you're loading questions. When they go to schools where children are operating at their level, they do well. What this is going to do. I'm not into the politics of it. I raised politics earlier, and I can't find the difference in Barbados between who are Labour, who are what else. Whereas in England, it's very clear.
All right.
The Conservatives want.
All right, sir. I want to thank you for your contribution, and maybe at a point in time when we have some more time, you and I can chat some more about the differences between the British and the Caribbean system. We have a Caribbean problem here and a Barbadian problem that we're trying to fix, and I grow a bit tired sometimes of the persons who would tell me of the superiority of the British experience, and you know, can't tell me specifically what exactly we should do regarding our Barbadian challenge. I don't think I have time to take the remaining call. It's 2 minutes? No, we don't. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, so we're going to have to run. I want to thank all of you for the contributions today. Of course, the program was interesting. Whenever we talk education, it always gets me going. And I want to thank all of you for calling and making the program what it was. I look forward to being with you. Apparently, I'm here a fortnight from now, and I should enjoy being with you at that point in time. Until then, do take care. I hope some of you will be able to get to church tomorrow for your Ash Wednesday service and the beginning of Lent. Of course, this is a period of time where we should avoid excess, and I think all of you ought to give up something. If you are a pork eater, pork is a good thing to give up during Lent. If you're not, I'm sure you could find something else. Sweet drinks. Maybe you could give up sweet drinks during Lent. Okay, it's now 1 o'clock, time for us to go. And again, I do hope you have a great weekend, and I'll be with you in 2 weeks' time.